skimmed it back up the wing for a pass to Lucci. Through the leg pass, sent over for a shot and a goal and a marvelous play.
His one, top pass,
Malkin and Bergeron. All Malkin and Bergeron are going. They're going.
The gloves are off, the takedown is Malkin. The two captains, Chara and Cross, separated by one of the referees.
This is, you understand what Sidney's doing, but not now.
Positioned away by Malkin, but just caught it right back to Marchand. Marchand delayed now. Cut it in right now.
Segment of Connectivity, all about the NHL playoffs, now the Stanley Cup Final. I'm once again with JP Corbin.
Hey, everybody.
And Donald Terriel.
Confucius say, forgiveness divine, but never forgive team who score less than you do.
Oh, yeah? You just make that up, or what's that from?
That just came to me after Game 4 of the Eastern Final.
That works. And once again, we're going to break down, well, this time we'll be breaking down the conference finals that concluded over the weekend, this past weekend, and we're recording this on Thursday, so we've already seen game one of the Stanley Cup finals, so we'll talk a little bit about that game, make our predictions, and also predict some, like, silly stuff that won't really matter in the end. So let's start, as usual, with the Eastern Conference. JP, you weren't here, but we assumed you were going to pick the Bruins just because you wouldn't pick the Penguins. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess if I were to allow myself to pick with my head, I still might have picked the Bruins, but I hate the Penguins, but I might have picked them. But clearly, you were right to pick for me to. You had them sweeping, me having them sweep, right? So I was like extra right.
Having you sweep? Yeah. I think we did say that. I think we said for you it was going to be Bruins in four.
Hey, look at that.
And then Donald, you picked the Penguins, and I can't remember in the number of games you might have predicted.
I think I went both series in six, so
yeah.
I was extra wrong on this one.
Yeah. And then I picked the Bruins, but I probably, same as you, probably like thought it was going to be like a long, hard fought series.
Yeah, I think everyone was surprised that it was that dominated, that it was that one sided.
Yeah, for sure. And my prediction came true a little bit, although it didn't have sort of the, like rippling effects I thought it would. We had in game two, Vokoun had his first bad game as I thought would happen and got pulled, and Fleury came in the first period of that game and also gave up the same number of goals throughout the rest of the game. And then, so I thought game three was going to be this big deal and we were going to get Fleury starting and it was just going to be a collapse from there. But they went back to Vokoun in game three, which was probably the right move.
And
see, the thing is with the Penguins, they really need to realize that two mediocre goaltenders is not the same as one good one.
No. Not really. What were you going to say, Donald?
I was going to say, well, Vokoun only gave up three goals for the rest of the series, so I'm frankly surprised that Pittsburgh's sticking with Fleury going forward.
Well, that's true. Yeah, like, they had the press conferences, I guess it was yesterday now, or maybe even the day before, and so they signed Bylsma to a contract extension.
Which I don't understand that.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. And then, yeah, and then they give, like, this big vote of confidence to Fleury. I mean, a guy you can't even play in the playoffs. I don't Seems weird to me, unless they're trying just to talk him up for like maybe a trade, or they have other stuff planned. But that I don't think that can legitimately be their plan. I think they're just trying to keep his spirits up till they find a different solution. I mean, you don't want to like start the season with the guy knowing he doesn't have the job, or you know that they don't have confidence in him. So.
Kind of like the Flyers with Brizgalov,
or the Canucks with Luongo.
Yeah, exactly. A pretty interesting situation there. So Penguins, for all that offense, they were boasted to have, and did have, really. I mean, you can't deny they've got some of the best players in the world on that team. Scored two goals throughout the entire series. Those last two games were hard fought. I mean, it's not like they were blowouts. I mean, like you said, Donald, he gave up three goals the rest of the way. One in game four at, like, midway through the third period. I mean, Focun did everything he could, but the offense just wasn't doing anything.
I think that's the worst goal scoring performance in a conference final since the time Giguere allowed one goal in a four game sweep, I think in 2003.
And didn't Pittsburgh had the most goals in the regular season, right, of any team? So
I believe that's correct. Yeah,
Rask is having a pretty great playoffs.
I just didn't realize that Boston had a switch that they could flip, because it seems like they've permanently kept it to on ever since about the 10-minute mark of Game 7 of the first round.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, no offense, but they let the Maple Leafs take them to 7 games and almost beat them, and they should have beat them. And then they just beat the crap out of Pittsburgh. I mean, you don't know what's going on there. And,
right.
Yeah.
Maybe that happened. You know, maybe those Game 7 wake-up calls happened. I mean, even the Blackhawks against the Red Wings, I mean, they went 7 games. Down 3-1 in the series, had to come back, and since then they've lost one game against LA. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe it's like a wake-up call. I don't know. I guess you want to get it out of the way early in the playoffs rather than try to get that wake-up call like in the final series or something, but it's kind of interesting. There's parallels on both sides there. So yeah, the Bruins move on rather easily. And I thought the Penguins are going to be in shambles this offseason, but it's interesting seeing, yeah, like we said, that they're kind of keeping the team together. Malkin, obviously, I mean, Malkin wasn't the problem, but signed him to a big 8-year contract now.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Right.
He was not at all the problem. The problem for them is the goaltending. They didn't score in the Bruin series, but they scored a whole ton of them up until that point. So I don't know if you can let one series just totally change your mind on the makeup of your team.
No, especially with stars like that, like him and Crosby. I mean, those aren't guys you were just giving up for, you know, because of one bad series. And even goaltending really wasn't an issue in that final series. To me, it was defense. And then it that's why I think it comes back to coaching. I mean, there had to have been a way to get some scoring. I mean, I don't know if you break up your lines or shake things up, but with all that talent, there's no reason they're not putting something on the board. But
yeah, but I mean, like they signed him to an extension, which I don't get.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But I mean, I guess you got to give credit to the Bruins too. I mean, as much as the Penguins weren't clicking, I mean, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the you know, defense of the Bruins.
The Bruins' defense has been amazing, both in that series and last night. I mean, They were just dominant.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. So let's move on to the Western Conference then, where we had a 5-game series, one extra game versus the East, with the Kings and the Blackhawks. Donald, I know both you and I picked the Blackhawks. JP, would you have gone with the Blackhawks? I imagine probably.
I probably would have, yes.
And I think Donald, I think both you and I predicted like a long, long kind of drawn out series, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm trying to remember if it was 6 or 7, but either way, I was wrong.
I might have picked 7 for this one. I thought it was going to be a little bit more difficult than it ended up being. To me, it sort of mirrored the Penguins and Bruins series, minus, you know, the Blackhawks lost once in L.A. But it just seemed like the Kings never got up and running. For as much as like they play a defensive style and Quick is amazing, which he is, their offense just never came through. Like in most of the other series, and then their cup run last year, it was like they would play this tight checking defensive game, and then they would get these breaks where that's where they would score their offense, and they just never really got those in this series.
You need hot goaltending to succeed in the playoffs, but you need more than that.
Right, the goalie's not going to score goals.
Yeah,
so
eventually you're going to have to you got to at least get past a 2-1 game. But I guess I think with LA, it's just a case of they've played so many games during the run last year, and even with the lockout, that they had a really hard 6-game series against St. Louis, and then they went 7 against San Jose, which was a really tight series. So I think Chicago caught a break just getting that team at probably their weakest.
Well, that's true. And then if you look at the path, even though Chicago only played one less game, but a lot less physical series, for sure. The Wild really wasn't anything. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like they were just playing practice games. There really wasn't any bad blood, no like big hitting or anything. The Red Wings series, a little bit, but nothing compared to going from the Blues to the Sharks in 6 and 7 games. And guys were obviously hurt. I mean, Kopitar didn't look like himself, didn't have any points until the last game. He had a good game and scored a goal and had a big assist on the late tying goal, like 9 seconds left in that elimination game, which was pretty amazing. But that was it. And then Brown never had a single point, I don't believe.
And I believe, was it Richards or Carter who ended up missing at least one game?
Well, Richards was out games 2, 3, and 4. He came back for 5 and scored that tying goal. Well, he scored it, quote-unquote, but I mean, it just bounced off his pants. But still, you know, it counts.
As we saw last night, that counts.
Yeah, it does. That's right. So he was out, kind of a controversial hit by Dave Boland. Sort of hit him up high, seemed to kind of leave his feet, but it's just an awkward hit. He hit him with his back. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the hit. He didn't hit him with his shoulder. He didn't elbow him. It was like he kind of jumped into him back first and hit him in the face and knocked him out for a few games. And then Keith with his high stick on Carter, knocking out some teeth and getting suspended for a game. That was kind of surprising. But, I don't know. All in all, I mean, things moved along smoothly and got a good final game, you know, going double overtime and winning on a 2-1 and a hat trick, nonetheless, from Patrick Kane. So that was exciting, but
it looked very similar to the Cup winning goal from 2010, except this time everybody knew it went in.
Yeah, that's right. There was no debate. That was great. That 2010. I mean, JP,
in my opinion.
JP, how long did it take you to like finally accept that the puck went in the net?
The thing is,
no one really knew.
I mean, I don't know. I considered myself lucky that they were. I mean, that was the year the Flyers came back from down 3-0 against the Bruins. So I figured anything after that was, you know, you were playing with house money at that point.
Just on the cake, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was kind of bizarre. But the Hawks move on there and face the Bruins. Now, game one was just last night, so let's not pretend like we didn't see it. I mean, we were all watching it based on our Twitter conversations.
One heck of a game.
Yeah, so we might as well talk about it. Triple overtime, which is pretty amazing.
The fifth longest game in Stanley Cup final history.
Yeah, and 3 more minutes and it would have been number one.
Yeah, every time a Stanley Cup final game goes that long, it's just, you know, something really weird's going to happen, whether it's, you know, Larionov scoring or who the heck is Peter Klima, who had the game that I think scored in the longest game, and then last night, you know, getting into 12 minutes of the third overtime, and then you throw the puck at the net, it goes off two guys and goes in.
Yeah. And you could tell, yeah, like you said, you could tell that's what it was going to be. I mean, guys were just exhausted. I mean, there weren't going to be any, like, breakaways. There weren't going to be any two-on-ones. Once it got to that third overtime, I mean, everyone was just sort of doing as much as they could with what limited energy they had.
They're dead on their feet at that point. I mean, I mean, that's just not that's not good. These guys have played, you know, basically 2 games.
Right. It's amazing when you think about it. I mean, yeah, they were 8 minutes from playing 2 games, like literally 2 games. It's unbelievable. And you just really started to see, I thought, the difference in age and how people, like how the players were able to adapt to it. Like you had young guys like Sagan and then guys like Shaw and Saad on the Blackhawks who seemed okay, like we're still moving pretty well and seemed to have energy. But then you had some of the older guys like Jágr and Marian Hossa who just looked, I mean, completely spent, like they just wanted to go sleep for the next.
Oh, I don't know about Jágr. Jágr seemed to like have a second wind in the overtime at times. I mean, he seemed to be doing better than a lot of the other guys on his team.
That's true. He'd give you like the one push, but then I feel like it was, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds into a shift after, like, you know, pushing down to the offensive zone. He was kind of like, okay, I'm ready to get back on the bench. But so was everyone.
I think that, that's everybody. But I mean, like, he was exhausted at the end of those shifts, but he was playing harder than I think a lot of people were. Than a lot of people could.
Yeah, I think the people to really watch out for next game are Char and Seidenberg for Boston, just because I'm pretty sure they were over 45 minutes at that point, at the time the goal was scored. So they are...
It seemed like Chara was always on the ice. I mean, he was out there, like, every play, everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he's going out there every time Tay shows up.
And then I don't know who else logged over 40 minutes, but I know Keith for the Blackhawks breached the 40-minute mark. I'm not sure who else. I'm sure someone else must have, because I think that was reported, like, in the second overtime. So I'm sure some more of the defensemen also broke over that 40-minute mark. But, yeah, pretty amazing stuff there. And just amazing that it got to that point. I mean, when it went up 3-1 with that power play goal in the third, I thought that was it for sure. I mean, I was kind of just like, okay, well, we'll just see what happens in game two. And then two quick goals, and there you go. You have your tie game. It was a little bit of Boston's own medicine after that Toronto comeback.
Yeah, I was on my feet after the third one. Just yes, revenge finally.
I thought you might have liked that one. But so very good game. Let's go ahead then and make our predictions for the series. I'll go first because mine's pretty obvious. Although I guess Donald, yours is obvious too, for just rooting interest. But I'm going to go Blackhawks. Everyone seems to say this is going to go seven. I think it would be fun if it went seven, but I'm gonna say six. I think we're looking at a six-game series here.
I was also going to say Blackhawks in six. I think it has that kind of a feel to it.
I know the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect a different result. Well, call me crazy, but yeah, I think Chicago will win it, and I think it will go seven.
Oh, okay.
I think last night proved that these are two extremely evenly matched teams. I think it's just going to come down to Chicago probably having the fresher legs and the fact that, you know, it's game seven at home.
Yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah, let me share my story for watching the game last night, too. So we had a big storm roll through the Chicagoland area last night, and I was at a class for school, so I was already, like, I didn't get out of class till about 7:30, 7:40 my time, so I already missed, like, the first 10 minutes of the first period. and my wife texts me, and she says, well, the power just went out. I'm like, crap. So I'm already, like, missing the start of the game. I'll hear it on the radio as I'm driving home, and that's cool. But then, like, well, there's no reason to rush home. I might as well take the long way because I'm not going to be able to even watch the game. So kind of settling in with the idea of not getting to watch the game or trying to, like, maybe sit in my car the whole time and just listen to the radio in my car because I don't have a radio anywhere at home or anything. So I get home, and I realize, I check my phone, and I realize I'm connected to the Wi-Fi. That's because I have Uverse, which... for anyone who doesn't know, it's sort of this, like, all-in-one package where your cable, your internet, and your phone is all digital and runs through this, like, one singular box in your house. And because your phone runs through it, they give you actually, like, a huge backup battery in case your power goes out. So that way you can, like, still make phone calls in case of, like, just emergencies and stuff. So you're not just completely boned. I didn't know how long this thing would last, but I grabbed my laptop and sat there on the couch by candlelight and streamed the game on my laptop, just praying that the battery on my laptop and the little backup battery pack here from my my router would hold out. And by the end of the game, my laptop had 13% battery left.
Wow.
So I'm lucky I charged it that day. I was already, like, thinking, like, if this goes to a fourth overtime, I really will just have to sit in my car and listen to the radio because it's not going to last another intermission and another period. But it lasted long enough to let me watch the whole game. So pretty amazing.
And I'm pretty sure, because I know I follow some media people on Twitter, and they were saying that the tornadoes were coming real close to the United Center last night, so much so that they might have had to punt that game and make it reschedule for the end of the series, possibly make this a game seven.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Yeah, there was some talk of that. Tornadoes, like, had touched down, like, 30 miles away from the United Center.
Yeah, I remember they during the game, they were cutting away to, like, outside shots of, like, lightning right around there.
Yeah, it was a really bizarre storm. It just came out of nowhere. It was sunny, beautiful all day, and then around 6 o'clock it just turned like on a dime, and I guess that's how it goes. So pretty interesting way to watch the game. Never watched a game by candlelight on my computer, but it all worked out okay. So let's go ahead and maybe make some silly predictions, or predict things that don't really matter, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. Start with the most obvious, which is the Conn Smythe. Who do you guys have for the Conn Smythe? I guess pick one for each team, depending on who wins. Because usually, 99% of the time, it's to whichever team wins. Except for those rare exceptions, but I imagine that's what it'll be.
Yeah, although I could see Rask winning the Conn Smythe.
That's what I would have said. I would have said if it's Boston, it's Rask.
Yeah, if it's Boston, it's Rask. I could see, because usually it's a goaltender who would win the Conn Smythe on the losing team, because I think that happened with Shiger in that one year.
He did, yeah.
And you could probably make an argument that Rask would be the man even if Chicago wins, but I'm probably going to go with Brian Bickell for Chicago.
Okay. Good choice.
Yeah, he's been there. He's been probably their hottest scorer, and I also made a prediction elsewhere that Bickell would score the Stanley Cup winner.
Ooh, I like that. So Rask for Boston and Bickell for Chicago. JP, what do you have?
Well, I would say Rask for Boston. For Chicago, I'm not sure. I haven't watched as many of the Chicago games, so I don't know who's contributed as much. Recently, or I mean, only in the earlier series,
right?
You know, as much as I would say Rask for Boston, I can't, even with the magnificent performance he had last night, it wouldn't be Crawford for Chicago.
You don't think it would be?
I don't think it would be Crawford. I think it would be somebody else. I don't know who it would be, but I don't think it would be Crawford.
See, the thing is, Chicago, like, apart from Bickell, who kind of came out of nowhere and has had some big goals, there hasn't really been like a dominant skater for Chicago. Like, it's all been kind of like winning by committee, you know, every night. I mean, you got Shaw scoring the big goal last night, and then you've got Kane with a hat trick the game before. It's been kind of spread out. There's no one who's like running away with the points totals. So if you're going to give it to someone from Chicago,
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that argument. You know, that makes sense.
It's almost like there's no one it could go to.
Especially, I mean, and we
got to
see how this series plays out. Because if Crawford can play the way he did in overtime last night consistently the rest of the way, well, the Blackhawks will win in four, and he will definitely get the Conn Smythe.
Right.
I mean, he was lights out at toward the end of that game. I mean, he let in three earlier on, but he was magnificent in that overtime.
He had some big saves in regulation as well to keep it close so that Chicago could take it to overtime.
Right. Absolutely. And see, I agree with you. Like, at the start of a series, I would have said for sure if Chicago won, there was still a chance Rask could get the Conn Smythe. But I think if Crawford continues to play as well as him, or even just a little bit better, even if Crawford doesn't win it, I think his just sort of being on par with Rask will take away from, like, what Rask has done. And, you know, we'll have it fall with someone in Chicago if Chicago wins.
I mean, yeah, I think the argument for Crawford hinges on the way the rest of the series plays out.
Yeah, for sure. And it kind of seems that usually with the Conn Smythe, as much as it's supposed to be playoffs overall, usually a lot of the kind of is decided in that final series. So like while Bickell has been great the first three series, unless he has another good series now, I don't see it going to him. And like I said, there hasn't really been a breakout star apart from Bickell, really. So I'm going to go Crawford for the Hawks. And if it's Boston, I think it'll probably be Rask, unless he does, like I said, kind of get outplayed or matched by Crawford, then I could see it going to someone on that top line. I mean, just pick. I mean, it doesn't even really matter who you pick. Like, that top line for Boston's been amazing. I think they're all, like, plus 18, plus 19 or something, like, through the playoffs. It's crazy.
Yeah, you could probably see, like, Krejci, who I think is still leading the playoffs in scoring, or Bergeron, because he's had at least three overtime winners in these playoffs.
Right. I mean, Lucic almost had a hat trick last night. He's been good, too. So, yeah, I think you go to any of those guys.
The problem there is those guys could, like, split the votes, which is why I think Rask would win in that scenario, because I think he would get a certain portion, and the rest of it, the people who would want more of a skater to win would kind of be split between those guys.
That's true.
Boston has too many, like, you know, Chicago doesn't have a standout so far, but Boston has a bunch of standouts, which, I mean, well, they could cancel each other out and give it to Rask.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And can I say that if either Rask or Tyler Seguin wins the Conn Smythe, I'm probably going to punch something, since one was a Toronto draft pick originally, and the other, of course, was in the Kessel trade.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Well, we've got it on... we've got a verbal contract now. If either of them wins it, we get a video of you punching something.
It'll be on Vine. It'll be very quick.
Yeah. It'll be like 3 seconds of you doing the punching, like 2 seconds of you just like screaming in pain, and then hopefully like a good 3 seconds of like an hour later with your hand just like swollen like crazy.
Yeah, I got that's a pillow here. I can use that, although it won't be complete unless somebody dubs in a Falcon punch.
Yeah, that's true. we'll get that done for you. And then, yeah, other predictions. I don't know. What kind of silly stuff is there? You want to guess, like, who scores the final goal? Yeah, or
Donald already said that, didn't he?
Okay, yeah. So you had Bickle. What do you think, JP?
I don't even know.
I mean, I guess you picked the Hawks to win. Like you said, you haven't watched the Hawks
necessarily. I haven't watched them mostly all season, because this season I really didn't pay much attention to the Western Conference, because I'm a fan of an Eastern Conference team, so I don't even know a lot of the makeup of Chicago's team. But, yeah, I really don't even know who to pick.
You're not going to go with Kane just for that remembering in 2010?
Yeah, you could do Kane. I mean, like, you could be, but I mean, like, the stars of Chicago's team really haven't been there, at least.
Right.
Weren't there last night, especially. And so I think, I mean, you could make an argument that, you know, one of those guys is just too good and will break through and will, you know, come up with it at the end. But I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, everyone's been making that argument throughout the whole playoffs, and that hasn't happened yet. I mean, except for Kane's hat trick to eliminate the Kings, there hasn't really been that breakout game yet for any of the stars for the Hawks.
I get an idea. I'm gonna. You said crazy prediction. Here's a crazy prediction.
Okay.
The winning goal is gonna be scored by Corey Crawford. He's gonna pull a Ron Hextall, and he's gonna score the goal himself.
I think the only way that really works is either he's the last one to touch the puck, which would just be insane, or he scores into an empty net and then Boston gets a really late goal, but so that Crawford's goal ends up being the winner. So there's your scenarios.
It's possible.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah, because that's a good point, because even if he scored with an empty net to put him up two, his wouldn't be the game-winning goal.
Yeah, because you would figure they would have an empty net. Crawford could score on the empty net. Well, then they would be back too, so they would have to come back and probably still empty net again, and maybe they score.
Oh, okay, I like it.
Crawford,
like it.
6 games. Crawford scores the winner.
I like it. Or in the very least, if he gets an assist on the winner, we'll give that one to you too. We'll take that. for me, the winner, Bickle's a good choice. I think it will be sort of one of the role players, just based on how the playoffs have gone so far for the Blackhawks. So I'm going to say Andrew Shaw, just because I like him. Energetic kid. He's trying to fight Chara, who's like 8 feet taller than him. I'll go with Shaw getting the game winner. Why not?
Anyone crazy enough to try and fight Chara has got a fighting chance to do that.
Actually, that was my other crazy prediction, that somebody would be stupid enough to fight Chara. And then I totally forgot that Shaw tried that last night.
So say Shaw's dumb enough to try to do it. I'll never forget his very first game ever was against, well, with the Hawks, I should say, was against your Flyers, JP, last year. It was his very first game in the league. They called him up because someone was hurt. And he scored a goal on like very early on, and then fought one of the, I can't remember who he fought, but he fought someone on the Flyers too in the same game. And I was just like, who the hell is this guy? Like, this kid's crazy.
Like the Flyers.
Yeah, like this kid's just crazy. It was that wild game where the Hawks, like, I think the Hawks tied it up like with under 2 minutes left, and then the Flyers scored in the last like 30 seconds to get the win. I don't know if that rings a bell.
I don't know. This was a while ago.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I've liked the guy ever since. I have a Shaw jersey, actually, because I like him so much. So I'll wear it during Game 6 and watch him score the winner. I don't know. Anything else?
I don't know. I don't really have anything, you know? I just hope the rest of the series can be as entertaining as last night, although hopefully not quite as long.
Yeah, I'll take as entertaining in 3 periods or maybe 4 at the most.
Yeah.
Yes, 1 overtime is fine. I would actually prefer 1 overtime. I think that's good, but multiple overtimes is, you know, once was enough for that.
These games are starting later than normal for me anyway, so I would definitely like to see it not make me stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I've been up till 5 o'clock in the morning before watching playoff overtime. It's not an experience I prefer to repeat.
Well, will the Boston games be earlier, the ones in Boston?
No, all the games are 8 Eastern starts.
Okay.
Right, once the final starts, they lock it in at 8 Eastern throughout, so.
Oh, I remember that. Because I was, short story here, I was at it's E3 time, or during E3. I was at E3 last year in Los Angeles when the Stanley Cup Finals were going on and the Kings were playing. And I remember we had a bunch of us going to the Zelda concert, and we were, like, afraid the Kings were... Because the Kings had a chance to win that night at home. So we figured, like, there was a good chance we would be driving back. We would be taking a cab back to the city, and there would be riots, and it would be crazy and all that. But they fortunately did not win that night. They won later when we weren't there anymore.
Right, they won in L.A., like, 2 games later, yeah.
Yeah, I think my other wacky prediction is that, based on last night on Twitter, there's going to be at least one more game where someone's going to complain that they're missing Jay Leno.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing.
You shouldn't complain that you're missing Jay Leno. You should be happy that you're missing Jay Leno.
I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just pointing out that it happened.
Yeah, it'll be pretty good, like, just to do a Twitter, like, search for the phrase Jay Leno as the, if another game goes late. Get some good results.
Well, that's a question, not to get too far off track, but, you know, the NHL really counts on the playoffs, and especially the finals, to expose new people to hockey. How do you think a casual fan reacted to the triple overtime last night? Someone who really hadn't followed the sport before, but tuned in because it was on NBC, so why not?
Yeah. Well, the ratings were apparently, like, some of the best ever nationally for a playoff game. Might have been the best in, like, the past, like, over, like, 12 or 13 years.
I mean, it's going to help that you've got two pretty big media markets going
right,
at
you've
it.
Got, yeah, two of the, like, three or four biggest in the U.S. You just don't have, what, New York and L.A., I guess, would be the other two. So, yeah, probably. I mean, unfortunately, it went so late that you probably lost people by the end of it, especially on the East Coast. You know, like, I could see people on the East Coast, like, saying, well, you know, just flipping it on around, like, the first overtime and maybe sticking through. But out there, once it's after midnight, like, I don't see the casual viewer sticking around.
But, I mean, I can kind of see it, like, turning people off.
Oh, you think so?
I could see it happening. I mean, like, you know, we hockey fans, we know the sport, we really get into it. And, you know, every once in a while, a good triple overtime game is really fun, you know? But mm-hmm. to be an early experience, I mean, it might...
If you just flipped it on during the overtime and missed, like, all the kind of build up to the overtime, I could see that just because the play started to get sloppier and not, like, as precise and action packed as
hockey,
you used to. Like,
hockey has kind of a negative reputation as being low scoring, and that's a
right.
lot less true than it used to be post the first lockout. They made a lot of changes to fix that. Well, fix if you, that's a whole different argument. But I mean, you know. This kind of, you know, triple overtime, nobody scoring may have reinforced that for some people.
Right. I mean, when you've got three extra periods of no scoring.
And this, yeah. And then the argument will inevitably start about bringing in the shootout into the playoffs.
God, no. I will fight you. I will physically fight anyone who argues that they should put shootouts in the playoffs.
Those people are the same people who hate Mario 3D World.
Those people
monsters.
Are terrible.
Just monsters all throughout. So yeah, that'll do it. I don't know, maybe we'll do another one of these to wrap things up and look forward to next season. Who knows?
Yes, we can talk about the draft. My very exciting draft, because
yeah,
that's
go.
What I have looked to look forward to.
We can talk about the Brizgalov buyout that might have happened
that
by then.
That is apparently happening, maybe. I don't know. I'm hearing
because the Flyers...
conflicting
just...
things. The Flyers themselves said that he's going to be there next season.
And then they just traded for what, straight from...
Yeah, they get a defenseman, which they needed desperately.
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as old a defenseman, but
I mean,
supposedly
like,
he's going to be...
That's a stopgap. You know, he's there
sure.
to fill in the gap until the guys that are in the minor leagues, the guys we're going to... Like, they're almost certainly going to draft a defenseman this year.
I would hope so.
He's probably not necessarily going to be ready for the big time quite right away, so this guy's a fill-in until that happens.
Yeah.
But to get him under the cap, they have to buy out two big contracts, and it's probably going to be Brizgalov and Briere.
Briere is definitely getting bought out. I don't think there's any debate on that one.
Yeah.
But Brizgalov, well, they're trying to get, what's his name, the backup from the Kings.
Bernier?
Oh, Bernier, yeah.
There's a lot of talk that the Flyers are going to try and get him, and if they get him, then I think, well, they're going to go with him and what's his name, the guy they got from Columbus. And, I mean, those will be guys, and then they'll buy out Brizgalov. Yeah. Yeah, Steve Mason. Like, Mason had a good end of the year. He did pretty well for himself.
He's honestly, he's probably not worse than Brizgalov, and not that Brizgalov's necessarily all that bad.
Brizgalov is not... I wouldn't call Brizgalov bad. Brizgalov is inconsistent, is what he is.
And when you look at, like, saves per dollar spent,
he's inefficient in that way, certainly. But Brizgalov can be lights out. He can be amazing. He just isn't all the time.
Yeah, and just given way too much money. I don't think you're going to see many more of those goalie contracts.
Well, unless I don't think you're going to see anybody that money. With the lockout terms, you can't do that anymore.
Right. And can't afford it.
There's always the cautionary tale of Rick DiPietro.
That's right.
The Flyers were desperate. They needed a goaltender, and they got one. So we'll see.
I look forward to the draft just to see where my boys from the Halifax Mooseheads end up. Since they won the national junior title this year, I think we'll see one in Florida and one in Tampa.
Yeah, they can go after each other in the Northeast division.
So that means I get to see them six times a year.
That's true. They're in there. They're in your division now.
There you go. All right. Well, that will do it for today then. So Donald, JP, thank you for being here.
No problem. I had fun.
And then, maybe we'll be back then in like 2 weeks talking about the draft and the conclusion of the finals. So we'll talk to you guys later. Stars were drifting on a pool at rest.